Amen. Good to be back this evening. Good to see each of you back this evening as well. The Bible teaches in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. It is a blessing to be a part of the family of God. It's a blessing to be a member of the Church of Christ, to be a member, a part of the body of Christ. We are told in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25 that we should have the same care one for another's. So many have been affected adversely by the recent flood. One of our own, Sister Lisa Muse, we understand and we have received report, lost everything that she had in the flood. We wanted to make you aware of that. The elders asked me if I would announce to the congregation that on Sunday after next, which is the fourth Sunday, that's Sunday, May the 23rd, we're going to ask you to come prepared to make a special contribution to a love offering for Sister Lisa Muse. And we believe that it is altogether fitting and proper that we do this as a means of showing our concern and showing our love for her during this time of her loss. So that's on the fourth Sunday, May 23rd. We're going to ask you as members of the Hart Street family to come together prepared to contribute to a special love offering for Sister Lisa Muse. Turn to the scripture lesson that was read a few moments ago, please. I want to focus our attention on a very prominent, yet a very obscure Bible character. We're going to talk about Mrs. Noah. Very rarely do we talk about Mrs. Noah. I've preached on Mrs. Noah one time before, and so I thought it would be well if we would look at some things that pertain to Mrs. Noah in our lesson this evening. We can learn a lot from Mrs. Noah. I want to look at Genesis chapter 7, and I want to read again for the sake of re-emphasis, verses 5 through 7. Genesis chapter 7, verses 5 through 7. Then we'll go over to chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. So Genesis chapter 7, verses 5 through 7, looking at Mrs. Noah. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Now moving to Genesis chapter 8, verses 18 and 19, and Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kind, went forth out of the ark. Lessons from Mrs. Noah. The Bible really does not have very much to say about Mrs. Noah. But in spite of that, as we look at the story surrounding Noah and the flood and everything connected with it, We really do know a great deal about Mrs. Noah. In order for us to receive the greatest possible benefit from our study this evening, we must remind ourselves that Mrs. Noah was a real person, a real woman, a real mother, a real wife, with the same feelings, the same needs, the same heartaches, the same temptations, the same challenges that we all face. Notice some things we can confidently say about Mrs. Noah. One thing that is obvious, and I don't think we stand in fear of being successfully contradicted in our affirmation of this fact, she lived in the shadow of her husband. If she were to read the account in Genesis, she might get an inferiority complex. Her name is not even recorded. She is referred to only as Noah's wife. I don't know what her name was. It's not mentioned in the Bible. But that does not diminish her goodness, nor does it take away from her greatness. The inspired record does not record one single thing that she did except her going into and coming out of the ark when Noah went in and came out. Now you might say, well, that was simple enough. I don't see how that merits any significant mention that she went into the ark and she came out of the ark. Noah did exactly what God told him to do. Noah followed God's instructions implicitly, but in Noah following God's instructions, Mrs. Noah also followed God's instructions. His wife followed his instructions implicitly as well. And whenever one submits himself to God and obeys God, that's something that's always to be commended. We think about Mrs. Noah, and see, this is one of those things. See, some things in life are just naturally more important, more significant, and more valuable than others. This was a matter of life and death. She was not exempted from destruction by the flood simply by virtue of her being the wife of Noah, as his sons were not automatically exempted from destruction by the flood by virtue of their being the sons of Noah. The daughters-in-law of Noah and Mrs. Noah were not automatically exempted from destruction from the flood because they were the daughters-in-law of Mr. and Mrs. Noah. They had to receive the message of salvation that was articulated by Noah himself, that was given by God in order for them to be saved from the flood. They had to be obedient. See, Noah did not make Mrs. Noah come aboard the ark. Noah did not force his sons to come aboard the ark. Noah nor his wife nor their sons forced or coerced their daughters-in-law to get on the ark. They had to get on the ark voluntarily. Nobody made them to do it. Nobody twisted their arms. Nobody forced them. And the thing that is significant with me with reference to Noah and Mrs. Noah and their sons and their daughters-in-law was the fact that they were instrumental in saving their family. That's more than a lot of folks are successful in doing. You know, there are a lot of preachers who are not successful in saving their families. Unfortunately, there are Bible school teachers that are not successful in saving their families. And not everybody receives the word of salvation the same way. And that's unfortunate. Sometimes you can do all you can do to try to save your daughters and save your sons, but that's not enough. They still turn a deaf ear. They still shake a finger of rebellion in the face of the gospel message and refuse to submit themselves in humble obedience to the Lord. But I can appreciate Mrs. Noah. I'm sure that she used her influence in order to help save her family. But she was one who was in the background, one who operated in and lived in the shadow of her husband. Have you ever tried to estimate her importance? Such would no doubt be impossible to overestimate. So it is with many women in the church today. They live in the shadow of their husbands. They are not preachers, they are not elders, nor are they deacons, but their husbands are, and their husbands could not function effectively without them. Deacons need loving, supportive wives. Elders need committed, loving, dedicated, hardworking, supportive wives. Preachers need, if they're to be effective, dedicated, committed, loving, hardworking, supportive wives. In order for us to function as we should as preachers, as we should as elders, as we should as deacons, we have to have wives that support us and that work together with us. Their names may never be mentioned, but their value cannot be overestimated. You see, God knew the value of womanhood, and that is why he said in Genesis 2:18, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Noah had a good help meet in Mrs. Noah. Do not ever say you are not important, even though you may live in the shadow of your husband, or even though you might work behind the scene. You need to recognize that God takes conscience recognition of your value and the valuable contributions that you make for the advancement of his cause and in support and in the promotion of his work. A popular song from the early 80s speaks about the relationship of a man and his wife. You know, the wind beneath my wings. It must have been cold there in my shadow to never have sunlight on your face. You were content to let me shine. You always walked a step behind. So I was the one with all the glory, while you were the one with all the strength. Beautiful face without a name. Beautiful smile to hide the pain. Did you ever know that you are my hero and everything I'd like to be? I can fly higher than an eagle, for you are the wind beneath my wings. I just can't help but believe, Sister Daniel, that Mrs. Noah somehow served as the wind beneath the wings of old Noah. I just believe that. Public leadership roles in the church are assigned to men. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 and verse 12 But such roles are no more important than the roles of women. And the men could not possibly do their work without the support of godly women, any more than Noah could have done what he did without the support and help of Mrs. Noah. So I can appreciate Mrs. Noah. But I also want to emphasize that she stood by her husband as he did the will of God. She was a preacher's wife. You know, we read in our lesson this morning from 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Back in Genesis 6 and verse 3, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And this is believed to be that from the time God commanded Noah to build the ark unto the flood came was 120 years. And it seems that Noah not only worked on building the ark, but that Noah also worked in preaching a message of salvation and a message of judgment and coming destruction during that 120-year period. The thing about Mrs. Noah is that she stood by him all this time, even though his preaching was not well received, only by her, his sons, and their wives. There is no indication anywhere in sacred text that Mrs. Noah ever made the first complaint. No doubt people ridiculed Noah for saying such a flood was coming and for building such a monstrous boat, but she stood by him and encouraged him. Husbands who have wives that love them and that love the Lord and that are willing to stand by your man, even in greater loyalty than Tammy Wynette. Husbands, be thankful for your wives who not only love you, but who love the Lord and who love the church and who are dedicated servants of the Lord. Mrs. Noah stood right by him. Can you imagine how discouraged Noah would have been had his wife not stood behind him and stood with him? He knew he could depend on his wife. He knew he could count on Mrs. Noah. Now my question is, can the Lord count on you? Can your husband count on you? Can you be depended on to be faithful to the Lord in attendance, to worship and Bible study? Can you be depended on to watch your language? Colossians 4 and verse 6. Can you be depended on to dress modestly? 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 9. Can you be depended on not to conform to the world? Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. Noah could count on Mrs. Noah. Mrs. Noah and her husband stood together in rearing their children. I know they did because I can see the results. Mom and dad must be in agreement in rearing children. They must agree in the matter of discipline. Proverbs 23, 13, and 14. When parents disagree on discipline, children will pull one against the other. Parents are unfair to their children when they do not agree in discipline. When they agree in discipline, it helps set up a special balance in the family and a special stability in the family. Children feel more secure. Children feel more safe in an environment that is predictable and not unbalanced and chaotic. Parents are unfair to their children when they do not agree in discipline. that disagreement sends mixed signals and confuses the child. Parents must love each other. The greatest thing a father can do for his children is to simply love their mother. One survey revealed the greatest fear of teenagers is not the fear of AIDS or of nuclear war, but that their greatest fear is that their parents will divorce. You know, that's something that young people are very much concerned about. Mrs. Noah stood together with her husband in rearing their children. And finally, I want to mention that Mrs. Noah made enormous sacrifices as she stood with her husband. She left her home. Now, I don't know exactly what kind of house she had. I don't know what kind of furniture they had. It might have been a tent, but be it ever so humble, there is no place like home. We must be careful lest our homes become objects of pride, lest they become the end toward which we work. Home should be a place where we can get away from the burdens of life, a place that is pleasant to be. Home should be safe and happy for our children and for their friends. Home should be a place to encourage, to practice hospitality, to entertain and to evangelize and to strengthen. Some think of such as burdensome, but those who love the Lord think of home as a place of innumerable opportunities to do good and to make an indelible and eternal impact on the hearts of children. Mrs. Noah made enormous sacrifices. She left her friends and her relatives knowing she would never see them again. Sometimes we must choose between our loved ones and Christ, as we see in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39. She left all of this to live for a solid year in a boat filled with smelly animals. And I'm sure that she helped to take care of all of those animals. She provided encouragement for her husband and her sons and her daughters-in-law through the long ordeal of tossing upon those waves for a whole year in the ark. We too must be willing to sacrifice for the Lord. Mrs. Noah trained her children. We may marvel that Noah was able to make believers out of none except his own children, but that is a great deal better than most people do. Training children is not easy. Somebody said if rearing children was going to be easy, it would not have started with something called labor. And those of you who've had children, you know what labor is all about. One mother of three young'uns was asked if she had to do it over again, would she have children? You know what her response was? They said, ma'am, if you had it to do over again, would you have children? She said, yes, but not the same ones. Some of y'all probably can relate to that. Raising children, bringing up children is tough. It is the most challenging enterprise that any individual ever undertakes, to bring up your children, yet it can be the most rewarding and the most fulfilling and the most meaningful and the most significant enterprise that you can ever undertake. When I think about Mrs. Noah, I think that she rates an unqualified like to consider her successful because she was successful in rearing three boys who had sense enough to come in out of the rain. You know, she reared three boys who had sense enough to come in out of the rain, to come in out of a condition and out of a state of peril to a place of peace and security. She had those boys trained to the degree that they believed in their father, and they respected and they obeyed their father. And they did what their father said. They took in and took seriously the teaching that their father offered to the world and that was rejected by the world. You know, that says a lot. Again, it's a matter of life and death. And if we can get our children to understand the importance of obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord, if we can get them to understand the importance of coming out of the world and coming into the church. You see, coming out of the world in Noah's day and coming into the ark, it was a matter of life and death. It was a salvation issue. Just because they were the sons of Noah doesn't mean that they were automatically be saved. If they had stayed on the outside of the ark, what would have happened to them? Lost. If Mrs. Noah had stayed on the outside of the ark, what would have happened to her? Lost. If the daughters-in-law had stayed on the outside of the ark, what would have happened to them? Lost. Now, what if the daughters-in-law had not been influenced to come into the ark? They would have been lost. What? And that's another thing about these old boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They had sense enough to select wives that would be obedient to the law. They had sense enough to select wives who respected the Lord enough and respected themselves enough and respected their in-laws enough and respected their husbands enough and respected God enough that they came out of a state of peril into a place of peace and tranquility and security. You know, it's so important that our children make good selections when it comes to choosing their mates. And Noah, Mrs. Noah, their three sons, they had such influence on them that apparently they made good choices when it came time for them to pick out their wives. And so they had all of their family in the ark. Now, I don't know what happened to Noah's mama or what happened to Mrs. Noah's mama and Mrs. Noah's brothers and Mrs. Noah's sisters. Yeah, I know what happened to them. Y'all know what happened to them? They were lost. They perished apparently, unless they died before the flood, they perished apparently on the outside of the ark because nobody on the outside of the ark was saved. Everybody was lost. Everybody was destroyed. Everybody died in the flood that was alive, that was not on the ark. And we need to understand that same cogent truth as it relates to the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In order for us to be saved, no matter who it is, we have to be in the body of Christ. We have to be in the church of our Lord. You could not be saved outside of the body of Christ, outside the ark of safety, any more than anybody could be saved outside of the ark. Was anybody saved outside of the ark? Nary a one. Not a single solitary individual was saved outside of the ark. They had to be on the inside to be saved. And when it boils down to it, if you can't save nobody else, If you can't save your neighbor down the street, if you can't save your coworkers, if you can't save your friends, if you can't save your acquaintances, for God's sake, do everything within your poor power to make sure that your family is saved, to make sure that your wife is saved, that your husband is saved, that your children are saved, and that your children's wives and your grandchildren and all of your family is saved. I think Mrs. Noah was a great influence in helping Noah to save their children. I'm glad that Noah was obedient, and I'm glad that Mrs. Noah was obedient, and I'm glad that their three sons were obedient. And I'm glad that their three sons' daughters, or wives rather, their daughters-in-law, the three sons' wives, that they were obedient. See, they had to leave their families too and get on that ark and say goodbye to grandmama, goodbye to grandfather, goodbye to cousin Louis, goodbye to Joseph, goodbye to Joshua, goodbye to little Sally. Had to say goodbye to everybody. And if they were not on the ark, they were in serious trouble. The lesson is yours. Lessons we can learn from Mrs. Noah. There's no doubt in my mind that Mrs. Noah was a good mother. Doesn't say anything much about her. Doesn't say anything about it except she came out of the ark. We don't know anything else about her. Noah lived 350 years after the flood was over. How long did Mrs. Noah live after the flood was over? I don't know. But I don't need to know. Yeah, the Bible reveals enough to us about Noah and about Noah's wife, Mrs. Noah. We don't know what her name was, but the Lord reveals enough about her for us to understand that she was a good woman and she was an obedient woman. And that's all that really counts. The bottom line is, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And we believe she did that because she got in the ark at the direction of God and her husband. If you're here this evening and you're not yet a Christian, you can become one. You've heard the gospel message. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here and need to rededicate your life, you can do that too through repentance, confession, and prayer. We're going to ask you to do it right now as we together stand and as we sing.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will answer.